lonesome.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a miser?
A man who eats mice.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant.
Well, here we are again with that quiz program that is known far and wide for its nuisance value. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think Lehigh Valley is Rudy Valley's sister. First, we have to celebrate author Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Wear Tight Shoes or What to Do in a Pinch. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Harry.
Surprise.
Yes, there was a young woman of taste whose nose spread all over her face. So no one could kiss this unfortunate miss. There wasn't a suitable place.
Next we have a woman who sent her picture to the Lonely Hearts Club, but they sent it back saying they weren't that lonely. You've heard of 3-in-1 oil. Here is that 3-in-1 Goyle. Miss Death Valley of 1944, Miss Lulu McConnell.
Mr. Howard, yes. I tell you, Gertie Hipple is getting a divorce from her husband.
I see. What is she suing for?
I told you, divorce.
I mean, what are the grounds?
She's suing him for flat feet.
Well, now, just a minute. She can't sue her husband just because he has flat feet.
Oh, no. That's not what I mean.
No.
She's suing him because she found his feet in the wrong flat.
In the wrong flat.
Mr. Hart, pardon me. Did you notice that most divorces are caused by married people?
Oh, thank you, Mr. McNaughton. All right, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who the day he was born, the doctor said to his father, I'll only charge a half price. He isn't all there. But here he is. Here he is, the man who was least likely to be troubled by leap year, Mr. George Shelton.
Do you know, Mr. Hart, I've been in misery all day long.
That's good.
My feet keep killing me.
Oh.
Every time I walk, I have to groan.
Do you always groan when you walk?
No, only when I've got my shoes on the wrong feet.
Yeah.
Hey, really, how did you come to put your shoes on the wrong feet?
I know. I must have my legs crossed when I put them on this morning.
Well, that will do it. Well, that's our weekly board of experts, folks. Tonight, our special guest is one who is well known to all of you. For his innumerable brilliant performances on stage, screen, and radio, that ever popular Mr. Adolf Manju. Good evening, Mr. Manju, and I am indeed very pleased to meet you.
Well, not being under oath, Mr. Howard, I don't mind saying I'm pleased to meet you.
I see. Manju, how did you happen to be on this program with us?
Well, it was raining, and I slipped into the first door I found open.
I see. Well, we're glad to have you.
By the way, what program is this?
Oh, this is It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Ye gods. Adolf Morjo, and It Pays to Be Ignorant. What will Cecil B. DeMille say? Will Cecil B. DeMille get the shirt off of me?
Oh, I just love to see you without a shirt, Mr. Montfield.
Well, who is this Bobby Stott's girl of the Revolutionary War?
Mr. Manju, that is the young lady that helped Betsy Ross make the first American flag. Why is this Lulu McConnell?
How do you do?
How do you do,
yes.
Manju?
How do you do? By the way, what is your net tonnage?
It's so sweet you ask me, Mr. Manju. But what do you mean?
Are you covered by Lloyd's of London?
Lloyd's of London?
Yes, to use an insurance term, Lloyd's can tell you the tonnage of any old mud scow.
Oh, my. On the other side of Miss McConnell, Mr. Manju, if you can see around her, is Mr. George Shelton.
Hello, Mr. Banjo.
Banjo.
You know, Banshee, I get to see you in all your pictures. Boy, you are terrific. I saw The Mask of Demetrius. Oh, I thought you were great in that. You were sensational.
Thank you, but I was not in The Mask of Demetrius. That was Sidney Greenstreet.
You know, I thought you looked thinner.
Thank you.
Mr. Manju, my name is Harry McNaughton. How do you do?
How do you do?
I must say you dress nettily.
Well, suppose he does. Natalie's probably a very nice girl.
Okay, here is the first question. Let's get on here. Mr. Monju, if you feel you can answer any of the questions, go right ahead and speak up. You're among friends.
Whose friends?
Whose friends? Well, that is a good question.
What was the question, Mr. Hart?
I haven't come to the question yet.
Well, then, if you haven't come to it, how do you know it's a good question?
No, I just said Mr. Manju's question was a good one.
What was the question?
Mr. Manju just said, whose friend?
Whose friend? That's a silly question.
Okay.
Whose friend? We're all friends.
Leave me out of it, Mr. Sheldon.
All right, then, go on.
Now, here is the first question. I'll see if you can get it. For what meal do we wear a dinner jacket? Now, that ought to be right up Mr. Manju's alley.
You mean Mr. Manju eats in an alley?
No. I'm talking about the question. The question is about clothes.
Clothes? Oh, I just love clothes.
Yeah, well, Mr. Manju happens to be an authority on clothes.
He is? Oh, tell me, honey. How do you like this dress I have on?
Haven't you got your neck through one of the sleeves?
Well, I made this dress myself out of Austin.
Well, it certainly looks odd where it ends.
I bought it up on 59th Street.
Well, it's a little baggy around 42nd Street.
So naturally, that's where I carry my laundry.
All right, never mind. Can we please try and answer the question?
You know, my old man has a lot of clothes.
Okay.
He has 14 coats, 12 hats,
yeah.
10 muffers,
look.
8 overcoats, but he only has one pair of pants.
Yeah, well, people don't usually leave their pants hanging in restaurants. Yeah. Now, let's get on here, please.
Last week, boy, it's a beauty. They're sort of a fudge brown.
Plain or with nuts?
I scream at that.
I say, speaking about sports coats, you know, I just got a new one myself. It's one of those new reversible sports coats, you know. One side is blue and the other side is brown. You
okay.
See? Or is one side brown and the other side blue?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it the other way around?
Oh, never mind. I don't care which way it was around.
My old man bought me a new mink coat.
Yeah.
At least I thought it was mink. Till the wind shifted.
You know, I bought a new pair of pants today. Paid $15 for them.
Well, what's the difference? No matter what you pay for pants, they all wear out in the end.
Maybe this is going to be good.
Isn't that beautiful, Mr. Young?
Quite a word, quite. What would you say it was?
If you name it, you can have it.
You did nothing to me. What is your you, Mr. Young?
I wouldn't care to say. I thought it could be something I ate.
Didn't think it was that early. Takes dues from these people, they should be ashamed of themselves. This would be a good time for the kiddies to bed, ladies and gentlemen. Time to practice.
That guy's playing the limb of a tree or something.
Oh, get it, will you get it? Yeah, he got it. Boxcar somewhere. I think this is the very simple. I don't see why you couldn't get it. What's the matter with you morons? Of all the scatterbrained nitwits and cheese skulls, you'd think you'd get one answer to the question, even if it was only by accident.
Now, just remember, it was blue on one side, brown on the other side.
Mr. Howard. Yes. Mr. Howard, if I may make a suggestion, I don't think you handle the experts properly.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, do you have any ideas, Mr. Montague?
Oh, yes, I have, Mr. Howard. I think you get excited too easily. You flare up too quickly. You must treat these experts as you would children.
I see.
Treat them with kindness and understanding.
Okay.
And I'm sure you will get much better results.
Look, Mr. Montague, suppose you change places with me and let's see how your plan would work out.
Well, I'd be delighted.
Okay, you come down here and I'll get up there on the podium with the experts.
Well, fine.
This I gotta see.
This will be jolly, you know, isn't it?
Well, how do you like that? I get a disfavored looking man. Like this and then do things beside me, making my heart go pitter patter, and this old dried up plant cleaner wants to change places.
Look, will you kindly take that big bulky package off my chair?
What big bulky package?
Oh, pardon me, it's just your hangover.
Well, now that we've changed places and I'm in charge, I hope you will pay close attention to my method of handling the experts.
I can hardly wait.
You will notice that I will never raise my voice, say harsh things, or become impatient and excited.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mr. Roberts, who is our first contestant?
Well, Mr. Monjou, our first contestant this evening is Private First Class Oliver Hoffman out of the United States Army.
Well, good evening, Oliver Hoffman, and welcome to It Pays to the Ignorant. How do you feel?
Fine.
Well, that's excellent. And where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Princeton, New Jersey.
Princeton, just one of them.
Well, crush my fingers and call me shaky.
Oh,
yeah, I used to work in that town.
Well, that's splendid, Mr. Shelton.
Yeah, I was a gardener in a dairy.
You were a gardener in a dairy?
Yeah, I used to water the milk.
Mr. Shelton, I'm talking to our guest. You don't mind, do you, old fellow?
No, I don't mind. Well, wait a minute. Where do you get that old fella from?
Well, it's just a figure of speech, Mr. Shelton.
Don't figure so much.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hoffman. I'm sorry for the interruption. How long have you been in the service?
Over 2 years.
Well, congratulations.
You know, Private Hoffman, I was in the last war.
Mm-hmm.
I was the champ of the camp.
He means he was the droop of the troop.
Is that so, Mr. Howard? I'll have you know my company was so fond of me that one day they gave me a 21-gun salute.
A 21-gun salute? Well, that's fine.
And they aimed it at me. I enjoyed myself.
Now, Oliver Hoffman, what did you do before you entered the service?
I was a postmaster of a first-class post office.
Well, that's good. Now, where? We are very, very happy to have you with us.
Yeah, we sure are. What's your first name, honey?
Oliver.
What?
Oliver.
Oliver, you heard him.
Oliver.
Oliver, you didn't hear him. I know
it now, Oliver. Did you change? Oliver, yes. I love the name of Oliver. Oliver, Oliver.
Oh, I just love Oliver. Well,
you can just call me Prue. I pucker up. Yeah. And you're always stooped. Remember, Mr. Howard, remember what I said about kindness.
Oh, pardon me.
And now, young man, I wonder if I may impinge upon your very good nature and ask you to extract one of the slips of paper from the conical headpiece?
Gee. Don't he use elegant language?
Okay.
I wish I knew what he was talking about.
And now that you are in possession of the paper, will you be kind enough to read the text imprinted thereupon?
What precious metal is used in making a silver dollar?
Yeah, that's right. What precious metal is used in making a silver dollar? Let me put that in simple language for you. What mined and refined ore is employed by the United States Mint in manufacturing a coin which is valued at $1 as a medium of exchange? Mr. Shelton, we'll take the question in its original form.
Mm-hmm.
What precious metal is used in making a silver dollar? Mr. Howard, please note the polite and patient manner with which I treat the experts.
You'll be sorry.
Mr. Shelton, would you know the answer to the question?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Menthol.
Menthol.
How about you, Miss McConnell?
How about me what?
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Would you know the answer to the question, Mr. Howard?
Yeah, just leave me out of it, Mr. Montague.
What about you, Mr. McNaughton?
I don't think I can add anything to what has already been said.
You, You mean that none of you know the answer to such a simple question?
You're getting the idea, Mr. Mondew.
Well, of all the dumb idiots...
Mr. Mondew, kindness, my boy, kindness.
Yes, of course. Now then, experts, we have a question here, a very simple question. Now, we're not going to let a little easy question stump us, are we? Are we?
Are we?
Yes.
Well, of all the sappy, stupid...
Easy, Mr. Mondew. Don't forget, kindness, consideration, and kindness.
Yes, but such a simple question.
There's no reason to get so excited, Mr. Mongoose. We've been stumped by easier questions than that.
No, we have.
And Mr. Mongoose, why don't you throw us a few hints?
I'd like to throw you right out in the... Oh. All right. Now, look. Here I have a silver dollar.
Where?
Well, I really haven't got one, but let's assume that I have. Here's a quarter. We'll say it's a silver dollar.
Well, I wish I could make my landlady believe that.
I see what you mean, old boy. Miss McConnell, remember that dollar you loaned me last week?
Sure.
Well, here's a quarter. You see? And we'll assume it's a dollar. Now we're square.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, this is terrible. Mr. Howard, I give up.
Oh, I see. You can't answer the question either.
How do you expect us to answer the question when you don't know the answer?
I know the answer.
Well, what are you doing? Keeping it a secret?
I'm not keeping it a secret.
And Mr. Mondew, what are you getting excited about?
Who's excited? I'm not excited. Who's excited? And now, Mr. Howard, you get my idea. You take over now.
Oh, no. Go right ahead. You're doing fine.
Boy, did I stick my neck out.
Look, Mr. Mondew, you introduced the orchestra at this point.
Well, I don't mind that. I like music.
Where do you hear our orchestra? You want to change your mind?
Next, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear from Dr. Novick and his orchestra playing excerpts from Carmen by Bizet.
Yeah, that's just amazing. There you go. On a rainy day. Compared to 76. I think you'll find Mary Dose in there if you listen closely.
Well, if I hadn't heard it with my own ears, I would never have believed it. Do you call that music, Mr. Howard?
No.
How did you come to hire an orchestra like that?
It was an election bet.
Well, what happens now?
Well, we have another contestant now, Mr. Marshall.
Well, at least they're intelligent.
Yes, and this time we have a very lovely and charming young lady, same in first class, Glenn Mell of the Spars.
How do you do, Miss Mell? Welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, Seattle. Well, that's fine. I see. And how did a charming girl like you get mixed up in this goulash?
Please, Mr. Mongeau, you're speaking about the goulash I love.
Mr. Mongeau, pardon me for saying so, but she's a very charming girl, isn't she?
Oh, yes, yes, she is.
So different from the girls I know.
Well, how is she? How is she different?
Well, you can take this lady out in the daylight.
Take her out.
Well, perhaps you don't treat her right. You should be very romantic. Watch how the birds make love.
You mean I should feed her worms?
I hope we are not boring you, Miss Mel.
You look so nice in your uniform. I wonder how I look in a uniform like that.
An army truck.
Now, in order to stop this horseplay, Miss Mel, would you reach into the dump shaft and pick out a question for us, please? And would you read the question?
Name the two famous lovers in Shakespearean play, Romeo and Juliet.
No coaching. No coaching for the audience, please. Thank you. Name the two lovers in Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet. Now, folks, Mr. Howard, we'll take over from here.
No, I'm doing all right. I'm having a swell time. Go right ahead.
All right, I'll try again. Name the two lovers in Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet.
Tipper McGee and Molly.
No.
Hey, Mr. McGee, you have a point there.
Yes, yes, he has, and it's on the top of his head. Well, now we can get on with the question.
What was the question?
The question is, name two lovers in Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, I love Shakespeare, you know. My favorite is King Lear and Ten Nights in the Barroom.
But Shakespeare did not write Ten Nights in a Barroom.
All right, you're so smart. How many nights did he write in a barroom?
Mr. McNaughton no doubt means 12th night.
All right, boy, 12th night. That was only two nights off.
We are not interested in barrooms.
Speak for yourself, Mr. Mongoose.
No, Miss McConnell, Shakespeare would have loved you.
He probably did.
Mr. Mongeau, come to think of it now, you know, the other side of that coat was green.
Oh, well, now, will you cut it out, please?
Mr. McNaughton, do you suffer from insanity?
Oh, dear, no. I enjoy every minute of it.
This is beyond the human endurance.
Oh, how about Romeo and Juliet? Someone wrote a play about them once, didn't they?
So, you know, I have a brother-in-law named Romeo. He's up at Juliet right now doing 3 years.
Enough. You're killing me. What's the matter with you morons? Of all the scatterbrains and nitwits and cheese skulls, you'd think you'd get one of the answers right, if only by accident.
Well, what's the question, Mr. Mongoose?
Let me out of here. I'll go mad. I tell you, I'll go mad. I'm going mad.
That was Mr. Adolph Mongeau trying to be nice and kind to you, nitwit.
Well, he never even said goodbye to me.
This is going to be good.
It's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
Lovely.
That's it.
I had my brushes here like paint. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
What is?
What is? They think.
Oh, it sends me.
Yeah, it does. I wish it would leave you there. They think it's beautiful, Mr. Taylor.
I agree with you, Mr. Howard.
going to play William Tell, ladies and gentlemen. For doing such a grand job with us here tonight. I would also like to announce our guest for next week, which is Mr. Harry Hirschfeld, who will no doubt find out what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be...
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
To be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much, wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant.